A market currently worth over $58 billion is projected to grow more than six-fold in just 8 years, hitting $360 billion by 2034. The question is, where will that value be created, and how can companies outside of biotech capture a piece of it? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global business. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're diving into one of the fastest-growing and most complex sectors in technology, regenerative medicine. We've seen a flood of regulatory approvals, massive funding deals, and new clinical data that are turning science fiction into commercial reality. But with this explosion in cell and gene therapy comes a massive challenge: manufacturing. We'll explore the boom, the bottlenecks, and the opportunities for Western companies.
Exactly, Susie. The story this week isn't just the therapies themselves, but the industrial ecosystem being built to support them. The competitive landscape is being defined right now.
Let's start with the boom. Troy, it feels like these advanced therapies are hitting the market faster than ever. What's driving this acceleration?
It's a convergence of regulatory confidence and powerful clinical data. This month, Novartis secured European approval for Evrysdi, its single-dose gene therapy for spinal muscular atrophy in patients 2 years and older. This expands the market beyond infants. Simultaneously, the FDA expanded the approval for Casgevy, the CRISPR-based therapy from Vertex and CRISPR Therapeutics, to include pediatric patients with sickle cell disease.
So the addressable market for these multi-million-dollar treatments is getting significantly larger.
Precisely, and that's attracting major capital. Meira GTX just secured up to $400 million from Oberlin Capital to commercialize two of its late-stage gene therapies. This isn't venture capital for research. This is funding for market launch. It's happening now.
How does this affect U.S. and European manufacturers, especially those not directly making the drugs?
The demand for highly specialized manufacturing inputs is surging. These are not simple chemical compounds. A therapy like Casgevy requires ex vivo gene editing of a patient's own hematopoietic stem cells. This involves viral vectors, specialized bioreactors, and extensive analytical testing equipment. European and U.S. high-tech manufacturers have a significant opportunity to become critical suppliers.
What about trading and distribution companies?
The logistics are incredibly complex, often called patient-centric supply chains. Cells are harvested, shipped cold to a manufacturing site, processed, and shipped back for infusion into the same patient. This requires a new class of cryogenic logistics, tracking, and data management services. Companies that can guarantee the chain of identity and custody for these living medicines will be indispensable.
So, the actionable insight for executives?
If you're in specialty logistics or high-purity manufacturing, you need to be evaluating the cell and gene therapy space immediately. The major pharmaceutical companies are building out their supply chains now, and they are looking for partners who understand GMP, or good manufacturing practice, for these new modalities.
Beyond the approved drugs, there's a massive pipeline of next-generation therapies. I'm hearing the term off-the-shelf a lot. Troy, what does that mean, and why is it a game-changer?
It's the holy grail of cell therapy. Current treatments like CAR-T are mostly autologous, made from a patient's own cells. It's a bespoke one-to-one process. Off-the-shelf, or allogeneic therapies, are made from a single source of donor cells, like induced pluripotent stem cells, or iPSCs. This allows for the creation of large, standardized batches that can treat many patients.
Making it more like a traditional pharmaceutical product. What's the latest here?
The progress is rapid. Fate Therapeutics just received FDA approval to start a clinical trial for FT839, an iPSC-derived CAR-T therapy for autoimmune diseases. They also presented promising early data at the ISSCR 2026 meeting for a similar product, FT819, in systemic sclerosis. This is a critical move from cancer into autoimmunity, a much larger market.
What does an off-the-shelf world mean for U.S. and European manufacturers?
It shifts the manufacturing paradigm from a service model to a true industrial production model. It requires large-scale bioreactors, sophisticated cell differentiation media, and automated quality control systems. We're seeing this infrastructure develop. For example, Taiwan's ITRI just established a new platform for iPSC-derived MSCs and exosomes, focusing on scalable production. The competition is global.
So for trading companies, the product changes from a single patient-specific dose to a batch of vials.
Exactly. It simplifies the logistics, but increases the importance of sourcing high-quality, GMP-grade starting materials. This is why partnerships like the one between Stem Cell Technologies and CCRM are so vital. They are expanding access to matched research-grade and GMP-grade iPSC lines. A distributor who can secure and supply these foundational materials is in a powerful position.
What's the key takeaway for our listeners?
The transition to allogeneic therapies is the inflection point for industrial scale. Executives in automation, robotics, and life science tools should be aligning their R&D with the needs of iPSC manufacturing. This isn't a niche anymore. A Unicorn Bioscience report projects this market will hit $360 billion by 2034. That growth is predicated on solving the off-the-shelf manufacturing challenge.
That brings us to the biggest theme of the week, the manufacturing bottleneck. With all this promise, what's holding back wider adoption?
The core issue is that cells are living drugs. They are sensitive, variable, and require a fundamentally different approach than traditional biotech. A report from Drug Discovery News highlighted major hurdles in potency assays, stability data, and ensuring comparability after a process change. These aren't minor tweaks. They can delay a program for years.
It sounds like the industry is flying the plane while still building it. How is this being addressed?
Through two main avenues, technology and specialized partners. On the technology side, there's a mandate for closed, automated, and scalable production platforms to reduce human error and contamination risk. On the partner side, we're seeing the rise of the specialized CDMO, or Contract Development and Manufacturing Organization.
You mean outsourcing the manufacturing?
Precisely. Companies like Kinsale Bio, Solistic in Belgium, and Roslyn CT in the UK are offering end-to-end services from cell line development to GMP manufacturing. Porton Advance just got its UCMSC cell bank accepted into the FDA's Drug Master File, which dramatically accelerates the regulatory process for its clients. These CDMOs are becoming critical hubs of expertise and capacity.
This sounds like a major threat to any company trying to build its own manufacturing capabilities.
It's a classic build versus buy decision, but with immense technical risk. For many developers, partnering with a CDMO like Catalent, which just expanded its partnership with Nanoscope for a gene therapy, is the only way to get to market quickly. This creates a new competitive dynamic. For instance, in Asia, Curocell's Remcarto became South Korea's first homegrown CAR-T, and China's ImmunoPharm, which has its own CDMO subsidiary, just filed for a $550 million IPO. The global manufacturing race is on.
So the actionable insight for Western executives is what?
For manufacturers, it's about supplying the builders. These CDMOs are your customers. They need bioreactors, advanced sensors, and AI-driven process analytical technology. For trading companies, it's about understanding this new supply chain. You're not just moving boxes. You're moving the starting materials for a patient's cure. The quality and traceability you can provide are paramount.
Finally, let's look at the enabling technologies. Beyond the factory floor, what's changing how these therapies are developed and delivered?
Two areas are showing incredible innovation: 3D bioprinting and clinical trial design. A team from VCU Massey developed a platform that combines 3D bioprinting and AI to create miniature tumors from patient cells and rapidly test drug responses. This could slash drug discovery times.
And this isn't just happening in labs on Earth, right?
Correct. In a remarkable step, Auxilium Biotechnologies successfully 3D bioprinted kidney and liver tissue aboard the International Space Station. The microgravity environment allows for more complex structures that are impossible to create on Earth, potentially leading to better models for drug testing.
That's incredible. And you mentioned clinical trials. They're notoriously slow and expensive.
Yes, and that's a problem for cell therapies with small patient populations. Researchers at the Institute of Cancer Research in London developed a new statistical approach called DOSET. It simultaneously optimizes for safety and efficacy, allowing them to find the best dose faster and with fewer patients. This makes development more efficient.
This brings up an interesting point from another report. The bottleneck may not even be manufacturing, but the hospitals themselves.
That's a critical piece of intelligence. The analysis from Chivanta argues that hospital capacity, specifically the ability to perform leukapheresis, manage severe side effects like cytokine release syndrome, and handle complex reimbursement, is the true limiting factor for CAR-T therapies. You can manufacture a cure, but if the hospital can't administer it safely, the market can't grow.
So what should executives be thinking about now?
It's about seeing the entire system. Technology companies can develop solutions for hospitals to manage these complex patient journeys. Manufacturers of monitoring equipment, diagnostic tools, and data management software have a role to play in debottlenecking the clinical side. The opportunity isn't just in making the drug, but in building the infrastructure to deliver it.
All right, Troy, a lot to process this week. Let's boil it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for U.S. and European business leaders?
First, the regenerative medicine market is entering an industrialization phase. The shift to off-the-shelf therapies is real. This creates a massive new market for automation, bioreactors, and high-purity reagents. Manufacturers should be aligning their product roadmaps to serve this scaling industry now.
Second,
the rise of the specialized CDMO is creating a new ecosystem. These organizations are consolidating expertise and capital. For technology providers, they are your new key accounts. For trading and logistics firms, they are the hubs of a complex new supply chain that demands absolute precision. Map this landscape and find your entry point.
And the final takeaway?
The bottlenecks are shifting from pure R&D to manufacturing and now to clinical delivery. The market's growth is limited by the entire system's capacity, including hospitals. Look for opportunities to provide technologies and services that improve efficiency, not just in the lab or factory, but at the point of care. That's where the next wave of value will be created.
And that's our briefing for this week. The pace of change is accelerating, and understanding the industrial and logistical implications of these breakthroughs is critical for maintaining a competitive edge.
That's right. The science is astonishing, but the business of delivering that science is where strategy is made.
Thank you for joining us on Troy Technical Intelligence. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to ensure you never miss a briefing. We'll be back next week with another deep dive into the technology shaping your business.